Hello, this is Paramjit Singh from paramjitsingh.com. Thank you for joining me once again into the Passing Clouds series of podcasts. In one of the podcasts we did recently with the individuals of the male entrepreneur, we left the conversation at the end talking about the idea of East and West, how East has done things or certain things and West has done other things. So I wanted to go back to that conversation and unpack it, because we didn't have the time to unpack it there. And the idea and the thought we left with was that in the East and in the West, one shared aspect of the development that has happened over the centuries is, and if you look at the East, East has been very successful for most part, looking into the structure and the function of human mind and developing such powerful tools such as meditation to know the nature of self and to know thyself, just as Socrates has suggested. And the West, on the other hand, has developed such a great tool for capitalistic way of doing things and empirical way of doing things. They both have done remarkable things, but sometime if you look at East and West, you will notice that there are some remarkable dissimilarities also. If you look at East in the beginning, there was a lot more emphasis were on exploring the nature of being, and in the West, a lot more was accumulation of wealth and creating external milestones of success, such as financial well-being, shiny things, and all sort of things. So I want to take a moment to unpack this part, because I think it has a huge relevance to the idea of meaning and purposeful fullness in life. Especially when I talk to students in my academic courses, we often come across this interesting dichotomy that while we think of paying attention to outside of things, which is often called the third person narrative, as a scientific way of thinking, in the same breath, we talk about thinking about yourself or paying attention to yourself as a form of religion or some kind of a quackery, which is actually first person narrative. So this dichotomy has a huge meaning in the context that as much as in the West, we have made this progress of creating massive amount of affluence and material progress, we are also hounded by rising rates of mental health issues, which is almost unparalleled in the human history. So that brings us back to the question that can we learn something from both East and West? Because a large part of East also is steeped in poverty, which means that they have not paid much attention to developing resources outside of them. And the West has actually experiencing a different kind of poverty, which means that in my experience, individuals are not much tuned to their own nature of mind, the structure of mind, function of the mind, and they don't sometimes even see the value of when paying attention to them, because we are so steeped into a dichotomous way of thinking, which means that either things are true or false. So in that context, I want to take a few minutes with you to have a conversation that how we can actually bring these together. Because in fact, if you look at college going students in the last 50 years or so, when you would have asked them the question what they would like to be, one of the primary response you will get from majority of individuals would be to find or do something which actually brings meaning and purpose to their life. And in that scale, money and fame used to be at the lower end of the spectrum. Fast forward that to 50 years or maybe around 2000 or around that time, even earlier than that, that spectrum has literally flipped, which means that most of the respondent on those questionnaires in fact identified being famous and rich as one of their primary goals, which will bring meaning and purpose to their life, and looking for things which would be meaningful and purposeful have gone down the spectrum. So that's in fact very interesting in the whole process of thinking that how things have flipped. And it brings us to the question that how come we have attached so much importance to the things outside of you, because fame and the money and the material and the financial success to large part is outside of us. We do interact with it and we have a participative role in it, but they are largely very much dependent upon other the goodwill of other people. Your employment, your fame, your being well known is all dependent upon the mercy of so many external factors. And you have remarkably very less control if they were to decline. And if our sense of being and well-being is very much dependent upon the nature and the quantum of those things, you will notice that the way you perceive yourself and the way you evaluate yourself and the way you make yourself or count your worth is dependent upon external circumstances, that is going to leave you high and dry. And maybe partly that is one of the reasons why we have seen a massive rise in mental health issues in our society. Part of it can be attributed to various issues, nutrition, lifestyle, working style, and all sort of things. But I tend to think that considering the evidence that's emerging, that the way we engage with ourselves is very much relevant in creating and cultivating meaning and purpose. And this brings us to the main question, that what exactly we can learn from developing a skill set which is based on attention and its management to know ourselves and then act from that sense of knowledge and clarity to navigate and negotiate the world outside and its responsibilities and the roles we might have. I think the thing we need to keep in mind in this context is that it's not about being inside or outside, because being inside or outside, they are largely our human experience, which means that our inside interacts and co-create and co-participate in creating the experience of being outside and vice versa. So that the experience of being with yourself is very much tied to the experience of being outside in the world. So I think we have to find a way where we can develop this kind of a skill set, where we can pay attention willfully and develop a sense of clarity and knowledge about who we are as a person, and then can act in the outside world from that state of clarity and knowledge. And that would in fact cultivate meaning and purpose in our life. Because one of the things I tend to think is that we cannot find meaning or purpose in our life is because we are so enamored or so consumed with things which bring only short-term benefits, or what I call shopping experience. And we all know that how the shopping experience in fact plays out in the long scheme of things, that you buy something and you enjoy the process and you get that first blush or flush of excitement, and then because that flush gives you something pleasant to hang on to, you will have to repeat it again and again and again and again in order to keep on doing it. But the problematic part of that intervention or endeavor is that you have to do, that's what we become dependent. And the dependence, if it is repeated over the period of time, can translate or snowball into addiction. In some ways, the shopping experience is one example of that. So how do we work with the idea of paying attention, and how we can learn from this process, the whole historical aspect of East and West, and remembering that there's various ways we can actually differentiate East and West. But for the purpose of this conversation, I'm just simply talking about the idea of knowing yourself, which has been consumed, or which has consumed various scholars both in East and West, because even Socrates, when we are talking about know thyself, was meant that we need to know who we are as a person. And knowing yourself or not knowing yourself and becoming aware that you don't know yourself is also a part of self-knowledge. And that self-knowledge can provide us a powerful way to navigate and negotiate the outside world. What has happened with our society is that we have stopped paying attention to ourselves. As I said before, that I find it very interesting that when we look at things outside of us and we empirically examine them through the lens of scientific method, we call that science. But if you were to reverse the process and start looking at yourself through the empirical lens and scientific method through the observational process, we often call that not scientific, or at the worst, religious. Maybe what we need to learn is that paying attention is neither religious nor scientific. It's depends upon where our attention is actually paid and to what extent it illuminates the process of knowing. Because we can be as subjective as possible even doing the science, and there's quite a bit of evidence to suggest that science is laden with subjectivity. In the same way, we can be, if we learn to be very skillful in the way we pay attention, we can be very skillful in paying attention to ourselves and not be those subjective. And this is the challenge of paying attention to yourself. That's the challenge of what we call knowing yourself. Because in knowing yourself, you are the observer and you are the observed. You are the one who is examining and you are the one who is being examined, and it is, as much as it is challenging, it can be fruitful if we actually approach it from the state of curiosity and playfulness. And what I invite you to do for the purpose of meaning and purposefulness, because in my experience talking to students for all these years and the work I do outside, I often find that people who are very successful in the eyes of others still find themselves to be lacking in the meaning and purpose. That would mean that the things you do outside of you, especially if it is not aligned with your sense of self, they will not bring to the extent the meaning and purpose you are hoping for. So that brings us to the second part, that we need to align the way attention is paid. Can we find a way so that you pay attention to yourself, and through that process, you develop a working knowledge of yourself, your thought process, your emotions, your feelings, and then that you can act out in the external world, do whatever you need to do, means your responsibilities, whatever those kind of responsibilities are, they can be drawn from a state of clarity and knowledge. And that will, over the period of time, will become aligned. That alignment is going to bring what we call meaningfulness and the purpose. In our society, people think that meaning can be found through intellectual discussions. I would say that intellectual discussions are a starting point. We use cognitive processes to work through the things, but they are not enough, because your mind, especially the cognitive aspect of the mind or the intellectual aspect of the mind, is not capable enough to unravel the mysteries of human mind as it is. That's the limitation of the mind. So as much as we use cognitive processes to think about things or think through things, it has its own limitations. So somewhere we have to engage with our mind from a different standpoint. And that standpoint is that, can you, for a few minutes a day or more than a few minutes if you can afford, just pay attention to yourself in the spirit of curiosity and playfulness, and just observe your thought processes, your emotions and feelings. And that would be your introduction to yourself. And that, over the period of time, will come to you in the form of self-knowledge. And the self-knowledge will then drive and propel your thought processes outside world, and it will drive all the actions you have to do, responsibility you have to do. And you will notice there's an alignment to the whole process, and that alignment will, over the period of time, will transpire into meaning and purpose. So one of the things I wanted to unpack for you, that we need to understand the value of paying attention to both inside of us and things outside of us. And as long as we are able to work with the alignment, we can generate or cultivate meaning and purpose. Because anytime there's no alignment between your knowledge of self and your experience of yourself, that will always lead to dissonance in the outside. And the dissonance is very labor intensive, it's very costly, and it may lead to various challenges we experience. And those challenges can be mental health issues, dissatisfactions, job dissatisfaction, relationship dissatisfaction, all sort of things can actually come through that. So what I invite you to do in the spirit of this conversation, see if you can just think of your meaning and purpose and try to align these two parts. Can we find a way to actually pay attention to your both sides, inside and outside, and align them and harmonize them and decrease dissonance in that, and see how it goes. I would be interested in hearing your thought process, how it goes. It may be very challenging to begin with, especially if you have never paid attention to yourself, but I would suggest that if you approach it from the state of curiosity, playfulness, and just to explore, you would notice that it has a different outcome than if you go with this specific intent that you want to find yourself in a certain times, because curiosity will in fact drive you in a different way. So thank you for being with me. If you find this conversation useful, kindly share with others, subscribe to our channel, and let me know if you have any questions. But be curious and enjoy the process of being curious. Thank you.